views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Voices of Women is a top radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Welcome to Voices of Women. I'm so glad that you're here today, and it's Friday. And there's so much in the news about our huge landslide we had in little town of Oso. I want to send lots of love and healing to the people there. It's just north of Seattle where I live, and it's a beautiful region. And, you know, a really small community being devastated by this. So just lots of love and healing to all those who've been helping to rescue and recover the missing people, and to those who are actually waiting to find them. Those who've lost loved ones, and we send all our prayers and healing energy that you may find peace of mind at this tragic time and the courage to go on. And today, my guest is going to discuss lessons in courage. We all go through times in our lives when we need to access that deeper part of ourselves to deal with the difficulties we face in life, and it calls for us to find that courage to move forward. Bonnie Glass Coffin is a visionary and a bridge builder who believes that educating the whole person, head and heart, should be the core of a liberal arts education. She has been inspired to build these bridges because of the transformative experiences that she's had while studying with Peruvian shamans for more than 30 years. Her first book is The Gift of Life, Female Spirituality and Healing in Northern Peru, and she has a new book out on Peruvian shamanism that she co-authored with Don Oscar Miro Quesada. Quesada, probably didn't say that right. Quesada is Lessons in Courage, Peruvian shamanic wisdom for everyday life. And her website, you can find, read about her, is www.bonnieglasscoffin.com. And it's B-O-N-N-I-E, glass, coffin, just as those words are spelled. So welcome, Bonnie.
Thank you so much, Chris. It's wonderful to be with you today. I'm excited to have this conversation with you.
Yeah, well, first I want you to share how you even came to be studying with the shamans in Peru.
Yeah, my pleasure. I was actually a high school exchange student to Peru back in 1975, so that dates me a little bit. I was living in a small town in western Washington, Falls City, Washington, and I was an active part of something called American Field Service, which was a high school exchange organization. And the folks there put me together with a family in Trujillo, Peru. I spent 11 months there, deeply immersing myself in a culture, learning Spanish at a Peruvian high school. And along the way, I had some experiences that really opened me to the mystery and magic of shamanism. And I decided I wanted to go back. Whatever I did with the rest of my life, I wanted to be able to go back to Peru. So I pursued a graduate education in anthropology and was lucky enough to be able to go back to the North Coast and began working with curanderos, shamanic healers, in 1982 and focusing on women and women's healing ways in 1987. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. And I never lost the passion for Peruvian people or for the transformative potential of shamanism in our lives today.
Well, I know in your first book, The Gift of Life, you talk a lot about your personal experiences. Share a little bit about an impactful healing moment for yourself.
Well, I've had so many. I'm going to share one that is maybe more recent than I wrote about in that first book. And I'm so glad that you had an opportunity to take a look at some of those experiences. You know, I've been a seeker a long time, and one of the things in studying shamanic wisdom is that I always wanted to be able to figure out what it meant for me. But I was carrying a lot of baggage, like a lot of us do, sort of the eighth sin of self-contempt, which I think is something that women particularly struggle with. And I remember one particular time I was having a hard time connecting in with the teachings of shamanic wisdom, in part because of my own loss over the years. I'd had a lot of miscarriages and never had been able to really get rid of that grief. And one night after a healing session with Don Oscar Mio Quesada, who's my co-author in the most recent book, I just remember going back to my cabin. We were at a retreat in northern Wyoming, and I went back to my cabin and I just poured my heart and my tears into the ground, into the earth, who is the mother of us all, just asking for her to receive these cares and this grief that I had held on to for so long. And I just felt an ability to let go in a way that I had never been able to let go before, probably because I just felt such a deep resonance with my own physical body and the body of the mother in this case. And because there was some magic and mystery involved as well, and I just felt myself finally being able to let go of my own sense of guilt and shame and grief for those things in my life that I hadn't been able to control. And I woke up really able to more deeply receive myself as whole and as a being of love and light in the world. And that began a real transformative walk for me.
Well, that makes me think, I wonder where at that time you were able to let go. Was it being connected to the earth? I know that's a lot in the Peruvian that you've written about in this new book, about the connection of nature and earth. What do you think it did? Why this time did it work for you? Because you've been holding on to it for a long time. I just think it would be helpful for our audience to, you know, a lot of us struggle with this of grief and self-contempt that you were talking about.
Right, right. Well, I think one of the things that really helped me was to put aside my academic lens. I've been studying shamanism for a long time as an observer, as an outsider, as one, you know, in spite of being touched by it, had never really felt like it had power for me. And one of the things that I did is I sincerely allowed myself, even though I wasn't in a place where I even believed anything might happen, I allowed myself to engage in what we call in our new book a sort of ritual of a transformative ritual, where I simply allowed myself to believe that the mother of us all really probably has the time depth and the wisdom, and has, with so many children walking on the earth, experienced so much over the course of millennia that maybe, you know, maybe she could deal with my pain too. And so it was actually that act of doing ritual, of actually honoring the trees where I was standing and just deeply looking into the beautiful round full moon in the evening, and just allowing myself the space that even if I didn't believe in that moment it might work for me, that I could fake it till I make it, and as Don Oscar is fond of saying, and just gave myself over to going through the steps and doing the ritual, but in a way that I was willing to drop my guard, because I knew that I would not be judged. And I think that's one of the things that, particularly as women, you know, it's hard sometimes for us to really deeply commune with one another or with the natural world or both, because we have sort of these underlying fears of being judged. And one of the advantages of doing a ritual where we actually take our cares to the earth is because we don't have maybe carry the same baggage that we're going to be judged in quite the same way as when we reach out to another human being. And doing that allowed me later then to be able to reach out to other human beings, because I knew deep, deep, deep in my core that I was worthy and that I was not going to be judged. And so it was doing that ritual that really helped me make that shift.
Well, and I imagine too, because as I was hearing you talk, I think there's some work that we don't acknowledge with moved us up to that point to be able to do that. Lots of steps of attempts or whatever, but I think there's steps and stages that then you were ready to. It's almost like preparing yourself, and we want it sooner than later, but it's kind of like it happens when it happens and when we're ready to really let go.
Absolutely. And as I said, you know, I'd been studying shamanism at that point for more than 20 years. I'd worked with women, healers all along the way who'd been telling me again and again and again, you know, that I was worth it, that I had value, that I could stand in my own power. And, you know, I think that, as you say, we all sort of come to it at the time in our life, which is right. And but there's a kind of surrender that we also have to be willing to, in order to receive forgiveness, you know, we have to engage in action. We have to be willing to let go. And it's that willingness to let go that requires the preparation, and that can sometimes take a long time. And yet that's always there for us if we're simply willing to try. And I think also, you know, I've been working with my co-author, with Don Oscar Miro Quesada, for a while. And some of the ritual processes that we practice together, the deep meditation, the following our breath, the being willing to make offerings to the natural world, to align ourselves with the blessings of the present moment, and just to be putting ourselves in a place where we were focusing on the present moment, on the present moment, on the present moment, allowed me to be in that space where I could really open up without all the shoulds and the woulds and the could'ves and the what ifs that I had been so attuned to because of focusing on the past or on the future, and just coming to a place where I was willing to breathe and focus on that breath and be grateful and just say thank you and practice gratitude, pray for another rather than pray for myself. All of those things really helped me to get to that place.
Yes, and you talked about connecting with the earth, and our lives are so busy that, you know, it's if someone is in that place where they're just, you know, carrying this baggage, as you say, to go out to nature who can receive it, we're also shutting off all the stimulus that we get in our normal world, in our homes, in the cities, and that we can actually pause and take that time to breathe and take in that energy from the earth that's so willing to receive us and be at one with that. It's very hard to do in our day-to-day lives. We're so busy.
You know, that's really true. And I think that's one of the things too that I think helped me learning along the way and working with these women healers over the years, that, you know, sometimes I think as women, we're maybe conditioned to think that it's not a spiritual walk unless we can sort of get away from the everyday. And it's coming into that place where we recognize that every, what we might consider mundane act of our daily lives, from, you know, getting up to feeding the kids, to washing the dishes, to, you know, doing the laundry, can also be a place where we have sacred experience, and that we don't have to, you know, put time. It's wonderful. I'm not saying it's not wonderful. It's wonderful to be able to put time in our lives and space to be able to step out of the daily chaos. And yet sometimes being able to just embrace that chaos and recognize that that in itself is a sacred experience can give us the permission to just breathe a little more deeply, even as we're doing the laundry, and give us a little prayer of thanks for the fact that, you know, the washer and the dryer are still working today.
And we're going to come back and talk more with Bonnie Glass-Coffin in a few minutes.
Chris?
Iris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Did anyone teach you to be a parent? What if there were tools that could make your job a whole lot easier? Glenna Rice invites you to be the questionable parent you truly be in a dynamic teleseries designed to empower parents to know that they know and give you the awareness required to create ease and joy between you and your children. Check out GlennaRice.com to learn more and to book a private session. Or dial 415-235-2807.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and I'm talking with Bonnie Glass-Coffin. She's the author of Lessons in Courage, Peruvian Shamanic Wisdom for Everyday Life. And so we were just talking about that you know, it can be a luxury for people to be able to go out and be out in nature and to be away from the city, and yet you were just saying, and it's true, how can we do this in our everyday life? And that would be the goal. Like, as I'm doing dishes, I'm blessing the work, you know, my life and everything I do. And we so forget that. We get caught up in our to-dos and forget the I love that you also mentioned gratitude, just being grateful for what we have in our lives. So so relating this to shamanism, why you think that's important, how it can affect our planet, and how we can bring that into our daily lives wherever we are.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, again, you said it. I mean, I think there's a lot of truth in the old saying that if I make one prayer in my life and I say thank you, that is enough, right? I mean, part of shamanism, I think what the value of shamanism is for the modern world are a couple of different things. One is recognizing the ancient wisdoms that were all about restoring sacred relationship with both the earth and with what is, coming into relationship with the present moment, whatever the present moment is holding for us, and being able to say thank you to that present moment for all of the lessons. That really is the relational foundation of shamanism throughout the world. In tribal societies where shamanism was first practiced before the evolution of any major religions, of course, people lived in very close proximity with the earth, and they depended upon the earth's bounty for hunting and gathering or planting crops and having good harvests. And it was all about being very observant of what was going on in the present moment and being willing to receive the present moment and act in accordance with both the limitations and the opportunities of that moment. And I think that's one of the key lessons of shamanism for us. And another key lesson in addition to that is that this knowledge that our consciousness, our way of thinking is actually structuring the material world in which we live. Shamanic practitioners in tribal societies all around the world refer to all elements of the earth as our relatives and all elements as being worthy of relationship as relatives. And so making offerings, remembering to walk with thankfulness in every step, whether we're washing the dishes or whatever we happen to be doing, coming into alignment with the blessings of the present moment. That's really the key of opening the gates to being able to restore our world. And I had a very, if you have time for just one more anecdote in terms of transformative experiences in my own life. Again, when I was working with Don Oscar, I had an opportunity to really sit in ceremony quietly one evening at his home. And as I opened my eyes when I was sitting in his backyard, I saw every blade of grass that was sitting before me begin to move and bow and honor my presence, which sounds pretty crazy, but I was in a place where I was open enough to be able to perceive that which I normally didn't perceive. And recognizing that even the smallest blade of grass has consciousness, has sentience, and honors my presence and reacts to me and responds to me. As I bowed, the grass and the trees bowed back. And as I turned away, they had private conversations with each other. And then as I moved back and bowed, they bowed back. And recognizing that we were in relationship with one another became the foundation for changing everything about the way that I live my life. And certainly that has implications for restoring the balance that we have in terms of our responsibility with the natural world. If we view our earth as conscious and alive, how can we continue to engage in fracking, for instance, and such other, you know, abominable behaviors? Just recognizing that that awakeness, that aliveness that we share really changes the way we interact with the world.
And that's such a, you know, it reminds me when you're talking about the blade of grass. If you've been, you know, you go for a walk and there's a little breeze and the bushes, the leaves will like, they're like waving to you. And I've been in some exercises where I actually felt like they were waving to me. You know, they weren't, it wasn't just the wind moving them.
Yeah.
It's their way of talking.
Yeah, and it's powerful, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I think that's the other thing too, you know, as we sort of come into an awareness and deeply observe the present, we begin to see, you know, the synchronicities and the signs in the natural world. And we begin to not just sort of take them for granted, but we begin to pay attention. You know, whether it's the spider that shows up as we're, you know, wondering how it is we're all connected or feeling very alone, or whether it's the eagle that soars overhead when we have just, you know, made an offering to the earth, whatever it is, you know, we begin to look at those signs and be a little bit more present to the fact that, you know, God, the divine source, works in mysterious ways and uses all elements of the world. Maybe the fact that, you know, we had the green light instead of the red light or whatever it happens to be. It doesn't have to be out of nature. It can be in the space of our daily lives as well. But just paying attention is one of the gifts that shamanism gives to us.
That, yes, that's true. And that's part of the being present is paying attention. Well, I want to move on to Don Oscar had, there's a couple incidences in the book he talks about. He had a life-changing moment. The first one was at age 9, and it repeated when he was with his shaman that he was studying with, where he had the vision of the three shining ones visiting him. Can you tell us
yes.
about that and what's significant about that?
Yeah, sure. Well, for readers and listeners who haven't had an opportunity to read the book yet, the Lessons in Courage book, it's a fantastic story. You mentioned just of how he dealt with these challenges in his own life. And the first challenge, of course, is trusting that we have everything that we need, and there's a higher, you know, wisdom supporting our life walk, even if our life walk, and especially if our life walk is about suffering. And so he had suffered from early on with asthma, at life-threatening asthma. And he had an experience when he was 9 or 10 years old where he asphyxiated due to the asthma, and he died. And instead of, you know, leaving this plane indefinitely, as he was lying in his bed, three shining ones, as he describes them, from beyond the veil, sort of showed up to him and basically provided him with the message that his work on earth was not yet done, and gave him the skills and the sort of foresight to be able to recognize that he had work to do. And they took away his asthma, and they shared with him some of the wisdoms of the ages, and sort of showed him his life story into the future. You know, we might talk about them as being kind of denizens or representatives or embodiments of the Akashic Records, right? Sometimes we talk about the Akashic Records as being the entire wisdom of our planet. Anyway, they came to him in that form. They might not come to others of us in that form, but they made him note and wake up. And then, but he was a child, and so he was cured of the asthma, but he sort of forgot about that moment until he began studying with his first teacher, Don Celso Rojas Palomino, on the north coast of Peru. And during the first all-night ceremony that they had together, again, these same three shining ones showed up. And his teacher also recognized them and elbowed him and said, "Hey, do you remember these guys?" To which Don Oscar realized that it wasn't just a hallucination that he had had, but in fact that there was a vision that was being shared with this other person. And then he remembered that experience and the significance of that experience, and more than anything else, began to recognizing that there is a world beyond that which we perceive as ordinary reality, and there are beings and entities in that world who have our best interest and who are caring for us. Maybe we call them angels. Maybe we call them shining ones. Maybe we call them star relatives. Maybe, you know, we have other names for them. But in essence, there's a higher wisdom supporting our life walk. And that allowed him to really begin to trust that, you know, he had everything that he needed for his own soul's evolution. And that really, his moment of being able to awaken, as I did, as I was, you know, kneeling before the earth, to be able to deeply receive that perfection of the present moment, and to be able to move forward with his life walk with trust and knowing and in alignment. So to me, that's what the shining ones were. And again, I think that, you know, that particular life moment may not show up in that particular way with us, but if we pay attention, we all have those life moments, whether or not we've had near-death experiences. It's about paying attention, and it's about waking up.
Yes, and it wasn't like that. It didn't, read correctly in the book, that happened again, and yet he still went through things. And you know, it's a process, because he still went through doubts and problems, and had another near death experience where he died, and it looked, sounded like a car accident. It's very mysterious, you know, and all that. So it's, you know, it's an ongoing process to come to that understanding in our life of why we're here. And again, he was like, when he had his this incident in the car where he died, he again was approached by someone from the other side saying, "You need to decide, you know, you have work here still to do." And he chose, it was a choice, and he chose to come back because of the work he still needed to do. And that's a message for all of us. So this is Christina. So you're listening to Voices of Women. We'll come back and talk more with Bonnie Glass Coffin.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Like us on Facebook/Transformation Radio Network. Tweet and follow us at TransformNet. Visit us at www.transformationtalkradio.com and find us on Pinterest, Google+, YouTube, spiritualnetworks.com, Flickr, Tumblr, and Spreaker. Just search for Transformation Talk Radio. Please stay tuned at the top of the hour.
Tired of traditional talk? People pontificating about this or that, the left or the right. Sometimes the truth is just all lost in the noise. Tune in each week to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher on TransformationTalkRadio.com, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, as nationally known guests talk about what's important to you, your life, your concerns, and your success. Tune in and turn on to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher. Visit ChuckGallagher.com for more information.
You are listening to Transformation Talk Radio, the home of some of the world's most inspiring talk radio hosts. Please stay tuned at the top of the hour. We will be bringing you another amazing, educational, and inspiring show to get you on the path to transforming your life. For more information about us, please visit our website, www.transformationtalkradio.com. That's www.transformationtalkradio.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Tune in Thursdays at 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern to Spirit Guidance Radio with Shannon Walbrand on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show with South Africa's top psychic will amaze and uplift you. Call in to receive detailed, specific answers that offer immediate solutions as Shannon interprets messages from your spirit guides. Whether it's love, business, or health, your spirit guides are ready to help. Visit ShannonWalbrand.com for more info. You are guided.
Grateful patients have been saying it for 25 years. When in pain, see Dr. Thane. Dr. Thane of Wellness One of Bellevue has been named one of the nation's top chiropractors by the Consumers Research Council of America, and for good reason. He has helped his patients recover their energy and vitality after car accidents, sports injuries, herniated discs, fatigue due to stress, the list goes on. The website is bellevue.wellnessone.net. When in pain, see Dr. Thane. That's bellevue.wellnessone.net.
Speaking of Women of Wisdom, that's our song from our CD. It's our theme song for our conference, and you can purchase that on our website, womanofwisdom.org. So I'm here with Bonnie Glass Coffin today, author of Lessons in Courage, Peruvian Shamanic Wisdom for Everyday Life, and it's a very practical book. Before we start, Bonnie, why don't you give your website and how people can reach you?
Thank you. I'd love to. My website is my name, so it's just Bonnie glasscoffin.com, and it's just like it sounds, Bonnie, B-O-N-N-I-E, and then Glass Coffin, like the burial box, .com, BonnieGlassCoffin.com. And I'd love for people to come visit me on my website and learn more about what I'm up to.
Great. So one of the things about the book title is Wisdom for Everyday Life. There's a lot of rituals in there, and you know, to bring us in harmony with nature, Mother Earth, and so we've already talked about the significance of that. So one of the first things he teaches is that breathing exercise to get into that space to commune with all that is and with yourself. So could you share that with everybody?
I would love to, and I'm so glad that you brought up the rituals, because there's five chapters of the book: trusting, honoring, opening, transforming, and healing. And each of those chapters asks us, you know, gives a challenge. How do I trust that I have all that I need? How can I open to the divine source within me? How can I honor that source? How can I open to receiving forgiveness? How can I transform the way that I believe myself to be? How can I heal myself, and how can I heal the planet? And we do that by progressively communing with the divine, and then consecrating ourselves as holy, and then composing sacred relationships through ritual, and connecting deeply with what we find once we've aligned, and then cooperating with that world that is beyond and also within. And so the first exercise that we do to align, to begin to commune, is a breathing exercise. And so I would love for our listeners just to take a couple minutes to practice it with me if people are willing. And the first thing we do is we just sit quietly with our eyes closed, and we exhale all the air in our lungs. And then we just hold on the exhalation. And then we begin breathing in slowly through our nose with our tongue resting on our upper palate. And we count to 10 with a deep, controlled breath in. And then we hold that breath. And then once again, we release that breath through the nose. And as we breathe in, we picture the crown, the top of our head, beginning to tingle and beginning to open like a 1,000-petaled lotus. And we picture a golden shaft of light being breathed into our bodies with every breath we take in. And as we hold that breath, we allow that light to move through every cell of our being. And then as we exhale, we allow any heaviness that we're carrying to simply move down through our bodies, out the soles of our feet, deep into our Mother Earth, where it serves as fertilizer and compost for new beginnings. And we continue to breathe in this way. We can also breathe in from the soles of our feet, breathe the connection, the rootedness that we feel with our earth as we breathe in through the top of our head. And with our breath and our lungs full, we anchor that breath in our heart space, in our Hatun Sonko, in our world heart, and we breathe out through our heart, expanding into love that is our birthright. And so we just practice that breathing, long, slow count, visualizing breathing in light, breathing in sustenance and structure, and breathing out love through our heart space. And as we sit quietly and do that for maybe 5 minutes or maybe 10 minutes, we find that we are shifting, and we are coming into an awareness that we really are the center pole. We really are that space between worlds. We really are the bridge, and that we are holy, and that we are whole. And so that, in essence, is the breathing exercise that we do as a beginning. And each of the chapters in this book has similar exercises that allow us to come deeper and deeper into that knowing that we are part of the shamanic story.
Oh, that was beautiful. I hope people make use of that. You know, just to sit and do that for even a couple minutes will probably change people's days. If you're, you know, feeling stressful, you know, sit and do that. That breathing exercise can change all that. So also one of the rituals is how to sanctify your space. And I don't know if you are able to talk about that, or just people should read the book, but it's creating a ritual where you actually, in a physical place, set up some things.
Absolutely. You know, Joseph Campbell talked about how one of the ways that we can come into alignment is it's all about finding our bliss, right? And so if we can create a place of beauty in our own lives, whether it's a corner of an office or whether, you know, it's the bedside stand. We gather objects together in this tradition and place them into an altar space that we call the Pachacuti Mesa. And as we explain in the book, each of the items that we gather, ideally we gather from nature. As we engage in and walk through nature, we begin to attune deeply to stones that we find along the way, to shells or to feathers. And we recognize that each of these elements of nature is a sign and a symbol and a message about the beautiful parts of our lives that are embodied in this sacred altar ground, the physical, the emotional, the spiritual, the mental, and the soul essence that we are. And so as we gather those items up, we sanctify the space and create an altar, which is a beautiful mandala, a spiral that moves us ever deeper into ourselves as we just reflect with intention on the beauty of a stone as an element that embodies the physicality and the structure of our Earth Mother. As we use a shell that embodies the watery essence of flow and cycles and the feminine essence of change that is reflected in the moon, a feather that allows us to move into a place where we recognize the winged ones as messengers that carry our prayers heavenward, a candle that allows us to remember the sacred fire of the masculine essence that we carry within, and the light of our higher mind that is about intention, that allows us to use our imagination to concretely create our worlds, our material worlds. And in the center, our most sacred item, which could be anything from a book to a necklace to a stone to an heirloom that reflects our deeper understanding of our higher selves, our soul essence. And we create this magical space through intentionally placing these items with love and appreciation and offering. And again, we talk about this in the book, and it becomes a very transformative experience that, again, allows us to come more deeply into just an awareness of the present moment. And these altars don't have to occupy, you know, one wing of an office building, as I said, or an entire room. They can be simple and small and portable. And traditionally they were for the healers in northern Peru, which is one of the foundations of this tradition. They were small portable items that people carried around, but simply gathered and celebrated with intention as relatives rather than objects, as beings rather than its, and as reflections of our higher purpose and our higher self. And so I encourage everybody to just take a few moments in their busy lives. And one of my favorite people in the world practices this tradition, and she lives in Midtown Manhattan. And if she can find time and space, you know, walking out of a concrete, you know, maze in order to just tap a tree as she walks outside and to walk with intention, picking up a leaf that that tree has left behind and knowing that that is sacred, I think all of us can find space and time in our busy lives and in the concrete jungles in which we live to see a little bit of nature.
Yes, yes, and anywhere. We can find it everywhere. Well, this is Christina's on Voices of Women. We're going to take a small break and come back and talk more with Bonnie Glasscoffin.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Tune in to Intuit University, compassionate guidance connecting you to your inner wisdom with internationally renowned psychic and medium, Sherry Dillard, the second and fourth Thursday each month at 12 p.m. Pacific Time and 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Get ready for an hour of practical spirituality and a fun and magic carpet ride into the spirit realm. This hit show is a combination of call-in readings and intuitive mentoring as Sherry supports and empowers you to create your best life in relationships, career, finances, life purpose, and spirituality. For more information, visit SherryDillard.com. Psychic World, Wednesday, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, with John G. Sutton, featuring his special guest, Countess Torella. One of Britain's most respected psychic mediums, John is an internationally published author, poet, and professional clairvoyant. His best-selling books include Psychic Pets, featured with John on the Walt Disney Channel, Animal Planet. Currently, John is the feature editor of the monthly Psychic World, which is the UK's Journal of Spiritualism. He has over 30 years of experience working in the field of paranormal studies. Countess Torella has an incredible ability to visualize your future in a positive, passionate way. This show offers all listeners the chance to call in and speak directly to John or the amazing Countess Torella. You can ask your personal questions about love, career, money, relationships, or whatever is troubling you in this often difficult life. What dreams may come? Join John G. Sutton and Countess Torella to discover your answer. See www.psychicworld.net. Where do you desire to go in life? How do you plan to get there? Are you only looking outside yourself for the answers? What if you use your soul's wisdom to lead the way? So what is the soul and how do you access its wisdom? Soul Suitcase with Victoria Cohen will unpack these questions and help you tap into and trust your own inner voice to solve everyday problems. Your Soul Suitcase is a treasure chest of wisdom inside you waiting to be discovered. Listen to Soul Suitcase on TransformationTalkRadio.com and discover how awakening to your inner voice transforms your life.
Well, welcome back to Voices of Women. We're talking with Bonnie Glass-Coffin. She's the author of Lessons in Courage, Peruvian Shamanic Wisdom for Everyday Life. I encourage you to find her book. I'm sure it's available on Amazon. It's also available on her website. And also the other second book, the first book that she wrote several years ago, The Gift of Life, which is about the female spirituality and the healing of the Peruvian people. So I'd love to talk about that, given this is Voices of Women. Tell us about the female shamans in Peru. And I'm curious, because I know you wrote a little bit about how they're different than the male shamans.
Yeah, my pleasure. When I first began working with the female shamans in Peru, first of all, they were very, very shy and reticent to talk to me because the general understanding or the thought was that it was men who worked in the shamanic tradition, but that women certainly didn't. And, of course, I found that that was not the case at all. They simply worked differently. One of the differences between the men and the women were embodied in the sense that where men tended to cure on behalf of other people, what the women tended to do was to awaken the sense of divine, the sense of source in the patient themselves. And it was all about having patients move from feeling like they were externally validated to recognizing their own internal worth and recognizing their own internal validation. It was about coming into relationship deeply with the present moment, and it was about recognizing ourselves as sacred and whole, even as we do the mundane everyday chores. And that probably sounds very, very ordinary today in talking about shamanism. Like, yeah, of course, that's what healing is all about. And I think part of the reason that we might resonate so much with those lessons of healing that these women shared with me is because I believe we have really moved into a place of really honoring the feminine and feminine approaches to the divine, which are relational, which are about the present moment, which are about the context, which are about, you know, the everyday and just recognizing that we have all that we need. And that, those were really the lessons that these women taught me. They also taught me that we don't live in a world that's fair. Especially in Peru, it's very macho. The kind of world that people live in structures life so that women have different life choices than men do. And that's okay. We don't need to live in a world that is completely equal in order for women to reclaim the ability to define who we are and to reclaim a sense of internal a wholeness, awareness of that wholeness, and internal validation. And while we don't resign ourselves to a world in which, you know, women are oppressed, sometimes we, in order to change the world, need to be able to move from a place where we're afraid to speak out because of what others will think or what others will say to recognizing that our power comes from within. And that's really what the teachings were about, you know, with the women that I worked with in a very unequal atmosphere of Peruvian culture in the late 1980s, where men, in fact, were very privileged, and women often blamed themselves and made themselves into victims if they couldn't live up to sort of male-defined ideals. And yet they were able to reclaim their own abilities to understand their own divinity through processes of coming deeply into relationship with the present moment. So those are some of the lessons that I learned.
Well, and it's still going on here. I mean, we're women are doing that. And still, because we still validate ourselves through the external. And we're still living in a patriarchal culture. So we're... They're in Peru, much more probably visible, the difference between the men and women and the roles they have in their culture. And yet we have it here, too. And so we're all dealing with it. And again, it's just the lesson of going back, going within and finding your source within and your strength within first. And that empowers women to then have a voice and not worry about what they say, that people are going to be upset with them or they're not going to accept it or they're going to judge them. We have to come from that self-esteem place. And we only get that by doing this work that you're talking about, whether you choose a shamanic practice or through your religion or through some spiritual practice of your own that you relate to. I think that's the goal for all of us.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I think it all starts with a willingness to sort of, you know, accept things as they are, you know, accept the world and accept yourself where you're at. And to be, and it's empowering because we give women permission to recognize that worth comes within. We give permission to recognize that wherever they're at, wherever we're at, in whatever times of our life, whatever we're suffering, that it's okay, you know, that that's where we're at, and that's where we're at. And I think that it's kind of a paradox, right? Because we recognize that the world isn't fair, but instead of being victims and relinquishing ourselves to that role of being victims, we become empowered through that first order acceptance and relationship with what is, that allows us then to reclaim our ability to define who we are and to speak out, just as you said. And I love that it's just as important for us here in you know, the 21st century and in sort of the first world, if you will, as it was for women in the late 20th century in Peru, you know, when I was doing my work with these women healers there.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's something that struck me, and it's in your prologue, I think, in your book, because they're not afraid to tell you what's going on, you know, and they talk to you about actively experiencing life and how mm-hmm. many of us, we don't actively engage in life. We're sort of passive about it. And mm-hmm. they it sounds like they even called you on it. And they actually said to you, or this one woman, Isabel, I think is her name, for all you have studied and all that you have seen, you have actually experienced very little. And, you know, that's a big wake-up call, isn't it, when someone tells you that?
Absolutely. And that really was, I mean, that's probably the nugget of the whole book, which is really why I chose to write about my own experiences and put myself in the picture, which at the time in my field of anthropology was kind of unheard of. It's more likely that happens now. But, you know, the willing to sort of walk and leave footprints and experience deeply and value our own experiences as opposed to just sort of skimming the surface because we're always wondering what other people are going to think or say or feel and then trying to decide, you know, what we want based on that. I mean, that was really a very important lesson. And the fact that Isabel particularly always had me in the role of patient, you know, I was never apprentice to her. I never got to the point where I learned everything so that I could hang out my own shingle and pronounce myself shaman. I was always in the place of being patient, of one who needed to humbly recognize that, as she also told me, I was sicker than any of her other patients that she was dealing with, which was also pretty humbling.
But it is. It was also, and you know what? I would imagine, you know, though we're all patients, that she's a patient to somebody else, that we're all, you know, even shamans who have probably done a lot of healing, they're all on this journey of healing. Well, thank you so much, Bonnie, for being with us today. It was great to talk with you.
Wonderful, Chris. Thank you. And thanks for all the work that you're doing in the world. I love reading and hearing about your work, and I've been looking at your book, and thank you. And thank you for including me in your show.
Yeah, thank you too for those words. So check her website. It's www.bonnieglasscoffin.com. I want to leave everyone with this thought today. Take the time to breathe and touch into the divinity within you. So this is Chris Stainis. I'm the founder of Women of Wisdom, our conference and our organization, and also the author of the Amazon bestseller and award-winning book, Women of Wisdom, Empowering the Dreams and Spirit of Women. I would love for you to check out the book, too. It's an inspirational book of many different voices on the feminine. And it's a book that you don't have to read from cover to cover. You can just pick up and read a chapter and find some inspiration and empowerment in your life. It's changed a lot of women's lives, just like our conference has. And you can purchase it at our website at womenofwisdom.org. And I want to share that I'm going to be offering another Circle Leadership course. And it's a course on learning how to unleash that powerful leader within you and how to co-create in leadership and bring everyone together on similar pages. And so it is going to begin April 7th on Mondays at 5:30 p.m. Pacific time. And you don't have to be at the class. You can listen to them later whenever you can't be on the call. And you just go to my website, www.chrysalisleadership.com, and you can sign up for it. You can read about it, and you can email me if you want to talk to me about it some more. I would love for you to join the class. Next week, I will be interviewing Rosalind Byrne. She's the author of When the Horses Whisper. Well, this is Chris Stainis. I'm so glad to have had this time with you today, and I hope you all have a great weekend.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today, radio with Chris Stainis.
Some talk networks broadcast whatever they want to, whether the vibration is high or low. Others tune in to the highest vibration possible to help people live life full out. These networks don't come along very often. But when they do, they remind us that we can achieve everything that is possible to help ourselves, to help others, and to help the planet.
I'm Sue London.
I'm Karen Hager.
I'm CJ Liu.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by.
These networks aren't concerned about sensationalizing bad news.
They hear something on the radio, and then all of a sudden, their whole day is ruined.
They aren't concerned about sensationalizing individuals' setbacks.
Powerful, inspiring.
They focus on an amazing, innovative broadcast network.
You can learn a lot.
That helps people rise up. That helps people become empowered.
Empowered Living Radio is where you can find it.
That helps people say yes to standing in the abundance and amazement that is their lives.
The urge to grow.
These networks remind us that everything is possible.
Let us inspire you.
That nothing is limited.
Epic social change.
That our lives are much more than anything our minds would hope us to believe.
Overcome those challenges in your life.
These networks help us rise and shine to the occasion of our lives.
True empowerment.
Transformation Talk Radio is one of these networks.
Transformative radio show that will change your life.
Won't you join us? Join us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Listen to the Yo Andrew News Talk Show every Tuesday night at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. More info where to listen? www.yoandrewnts.com/listen. Don't get your message lost in the mail. Email us with this address, yoandrew@yoandrewnts.com. How about tweet Yo Andrew at AndrewTweetGeo? Taking a picture is easy. Instagram us today at yoandrewnts. You are listening to Transformation Talk Radio, the home of some of the world's most inspiring talk radio hosts. Please stay tuned at the top of the hour. We will be bringing you another amazing, educational, and inspiring show to get you on the path to transforming your life. For more information about us, please visit our website, www.transformationtalkradio.com. That's www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio, that's my line. Non-stop shows, 24 hours, 7 days. Positive talk radio is the new craze. Learn and live your life the best you can. All hosts of TTR will lend a hand. Transform, inspire, educate, create. Tune in now. Our shows are actually really great. Tell your friends, your brother, dad, and mom to tune in at TransformationTalkRadio.com.